For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. Support for the morning show also comes from Carthage College, welcoming approximately 150 full-time transfer students each year. Eligible Gateway graduates can receive guaranteed admission to Carthage to complete their bachelor's degrees. Transfer to a more personalized education in 4 easy steps. More information about admissions and competitive scholarships for transfers is available at carthage.edu/admissions/transfer. And we welcome you to the Thursday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. On today's morning show, we are talking about a thrilling double victory achieved by the Carthage Choir at the Spital International Choral Competition in Austria earlier this summer. In head-to-head competition with choirs from 9 other countries, the Carthage Choir scored a first-place finish in both the folk music category and the classical category, a rare and impressive accomplishment. My guests for this conversation, first Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli, who is chair of the Carthage Music Department faculty, director of choral activities, and the conductor of the Carthage Choir, and also on hand, 3 members of the Carthage Choir who took part in this exciting undertaking: Elena Cressy and Christopher Wojciechowicz, president and vice president, respectively, of the choir, who will both be seniors, and London Roysden, who will be a junior. Dr. Garcia Novelli had attended the competition as an audience member on several occasions, beginning back in 2008, and he became well acquainted with how the competition is structured. For a choir to be eligible to compete, it has to have members age 16 and older. It has to be a mixed ensemble of soprano, alto, tenor, bass. The ensemble must number between 18 and 45 singers, and those singers must be amateurs. They cannot be paid for their services. Each choir competes in 2 categories. First, a folk category, whatever that might mean for a given choir from their particular country. For the Carthage Choir, this meant that they sang a folk song arrangement, something then out of the gospel tradition, and finally a Negro spiritual. The second category is titled Kunst, the German word for art. This would be sort of a classical category. And it begins first with a compulsory round in which all 10 choirs must sing the same 3 pieces stipulated by the organizers of the competition. And then in a second round, each choir is invited to sing 10 minutes of repertoire of their choice. It was in the middle of last summer, the summer of 2018, that Dr. Garcia Novelli first reached out to the current members of the choir to tell them that he hoped that it might be possible for the Carthage Choir to compete in the Spital competition in the summer of 2019.
I announced, as they say, I announced that on July 31st, and that's to all the returning members of the choir. But of course, there is a new group of people that comes at the beginning of September, right? At the beginning of the year, there is auditions for the newcomers. In fact, London, you were new as from September. So.
Yes, yeah. So I had just found out that I got in the choir, which I was ecstatic about. And then weeks, or maybe a week later, days later, I don't know, we found out we were going to the competition,
right,
which was exciting.
So that's an interesting thing, that only, let's say, 75% or 80% of the choir or so, got to know about this idea July 31st. But then it was September 5th or 6th, whatever, when the new freshman class and the transfers and so on come in, when the entire choir really is formed. And they, so at that moment, it was only an idea, right? Is a plan, a goal, whatever you want to call it. But then, I said, this is what it's going to be. This is going to be the schedule, and this is going to be the cost and whatever. But we have to wait until to see if we're accepted or not. So they had time to think about it and to think if they could do it, could afford it, and plan for the time in the middle of the summer and so on. So
did you wait to apply until you had actually talked to the choir and sensed their level of excitement about this, and their how many were willing to take on this commitment, or did you just apply and cross your fingers?
No. I waited until I heard from them, because I said I need to have a preliminary response, because of course if I had say five people saying yes, well then you can't go. So I needed to have at least, in my book, I needed to have at least 30 for a group to sound right. And to my surprise, it was more than that. So this, well, let's go ahead and let's do it.
Interesting.
And I applied.
Wow. And you said it was in February that you finally got the news that the Carthage Choir was accepted.
At the beginning. And that's the way they work. Huh? Even when I applied, I don't know, it was October or November when I sent the application. And I said, when are we going to hear? I said, well, beginning of February. Is it like, really? I said, like, we need to know early because we need to plan. So no, this is the way it works, and so we had to wait. And
wow.
Luckily, it happened.
Did you get an email or a phone call?
It was via email. Yeah.
Yeah. And I imagine the news was ecstatically received by all the students who.
Very exciting. Very exciting, and I communicated that right away. And it was important because, as you well know, Greg, planning repertoire is something that it takes time, right? Learning repertoire takes time, and so luckily, I decided to start with something in the fall, you know, just in case. I mean, you just do something thinking if you're not accepted, you still do great repertoire, right? So a little bit of that was started in the fall. In fact, I don't know if you remember that we did a spiritual in the fall. Mm-hmm. Then we did it, but then I changed my mind and I thought, this is good, but not as good as I think I need. And so I changed it and we did a different one. We proved to be better and awesome.
Very good. So I'm curious to hear from the students if your experience was a little bit like London, where I'd love to, I hope I can, or I absolutely want to do this no matter what, or did it take convincing? I mean, how did each of you respond to this possibility?
I mean, for me, it was not even like a thought. It was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I'm going to figure that out later. It's a yes for me now. We'll figure out all the other details and all the financial stuff at a later time. Because it was just such an exciting thing to hear about and an opportunity to have.
Yeah, I was in the same boat as Elena. And I mean, even from the first email on July 31st, I was like, oh yeah, if we get accepted, I'm going. There's no question about it.
I suppose part of this is that you had both been with the choir in Europe not long before, and that had been a very exciting tour.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But this was going to be something different. It's not just a run-of-the-mill choir tour, but something a bit distinct from that.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it was not a touring trip. It was just really literally going to compete and come back. I mean, we spent one day. We can talk about that if you want. But it was virtually going to do this and come back. So.
Wow. Now, London, so you had not yet been with the Carthage Choir on their trip to Europe. Had you been to Europe before, under circumstances?
I had never been to Europe. I had been to other countries in North America, but no, I had never been to Europe. So it was exciting just for that fact, to be able to travel overseas and see different countries over there, see the mountains for the first time. It was gorgeous. But yeah, it was a little different for me. I knew I would eventually have other chances to travel with Carthage Choir, which is why at first I was hesitant about this trip. It was my first year right away. I knew I'd have other opportunities. So if I didn't go to this one, maybe it wouldn't be a big deal. But obviously, I changed my mind.
And you're glad you did.
I am.
Yeah. So fast forward to, let's say, the end of the school year, along with preparing for the spring choral concert and so on, I suspect that at least a lot of what that repertoire was for this competition. I mean, or were you saving anything to learn brand new?
No. We at the same time that they gave us the acceptance, they sent me via email the three compulsory pieces. So right away we started learning those pieces, and then I guess the big piece that I don't recall when we started working on Liberame. Was it in the spring? I don't remember. Maybe we did a little bit in the fall.
I think it was right away in the spring.
Yeah. So I guess that the great majority. Well, let me backtrack, because we did Lux Aeterna. We did Lauridsen. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, look at this. I mean, they worked so hard that in the same semester we had a long piece for choir and orchestra that we did actually with the Carthage Philharmonic and with Indian Trail High School. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a long piece. And so we invested a lot of time on other things. Mm. And so that speaks really very highly about the choir that they can tackle so much repertoire
and how hard they work. So once the school year was done, you had already largely learned everything that you were going to sing.
In fact, we actually performed it. We performed it for the last concert in May 12th or 13th, something like that. So we performed it here on campus, and then graduation came and goodbye. So everybody went home, but it was as planned. We came back on June 27th, mm-hmm. There was a Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we worked really hard Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And we did a send-off concert on that Sunday, and we left on Monday.
Very good. I know from the picture that somebody sent, did you send it? Or
I sent it,
yeah,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate. My wife and I were in New York City vacationing, so we couldn't be around to see you off, which made me sad, but Elena was nice enough to text us a photograph of the choir on the bus about to depart. But I saw a couple of faces that were not current Carthage Choir members. So how many...
Good point.
How many people like that were part of this?
A few members of current members of the choir came to me during the semester and said, well, I think that I'm unable to come and for different reasons. One of the things that it's crucial for us conductors is to have the right balance and amount of voices, amount types of voices, and who sings what part. We sing a lot of divisi. For those of in the audience that don't understand the word divisi, is the when a voice part, be that soprano, alto, tenor, bass, divides in more than one part, divides in two, sometimes three, sometimes more than that.
So it's not just four-part harmony, but eight-part harmony, sometimes 12-part harmony.
Sometimes. For instance, Liberame is for double choir. So that, from the get-go, you're talking about two groups of SATB.
Right.
But it was so complex that it had more than that. So, for instance, the treble voices were divided in three, and so on and so forth. So I needed a specific, at least a minimum specific amount of voices in each. So I invited a couple of recent graduates that had been members of Carthage Choir, even officers, even one of them used to be the president. Mm. Anna Schmidt came with us, also Becca Bowen, McKenna Rickstraw, and Carl Steffens.
Yeah.
One of the things that was fun for me, actually, part of the trip was just being able to bond with the choir members in a new way that we had never bonded before. And McKenna Rakestraw, I graduated from Tremper High School 2 years ago. McKenna Rakestraw was my student teacher there.
Ah.
So being able to reconnect with her in that way on this trip was just absolutely wonderful.
And I had that same connection, actually, when I was in high school. I'm older than London, but when I was in high school, I had Anna Schmidt as a student teacher, coincidentally for band class, because she was doing double certification. So that was also kind of cool.
Wow.
I had the same experience as that, to have, you know, two student teachers.
Wow, very good. And Elena didn't get to reconnect with anybody.
No. Oh, well. I had student teachers, but not in Wisconsin.
They didn't come on this
trip.
Too bad. Oh, losers all. So,
but I should clarify that it was totally okay for me to invite graduates, because there was no regulation that said this, that had to be current students. In fact, I mean, 10 of them graduated in May, so in technical terms, they're graduates as well.
Right.
There were choirs, as I said, of different ages. I mean, one of the wonderful choirs in the competition was from South Africa, and they had people from age 16 to age 30, for instance, right? So it was totally legal for us to have people that were a little bit older.
Fascinating. So I understand that it was an eventful trip over. somebody tell our listeners what happened on the flight over to Europe.
Well, we were flying from O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and we are flying to Munich, and we are going through Iceland, having a layover there. And so we left O'Hare, and we are delayed like, I don't know, was it like 30, 45 minutes? Not a big deal.
At O'Hare.
Mm-hmm. But it actually was a big deal because our layover in Iceland was only scheduled to be 45 minutes long. We arrived in Iceland. You know, the flight was like 6 hours later. And we just barely missed that flight out to Munich. And so
you missed your connection to Munich.
Yeah, we did. And so we're in Iceland, and they tell us we have to go to the help desk and go and find a new flight. So we end up at the help desk, and they tell us that the next flight is over 24 hours away that they can get us on. And they have to split us on two different flights, and so they're going to have to put us in a hotel for the rest of the day and the night. And so we had a 24-hour adventure that we did not plan for in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Whoa. Yeah.
Which was awesome, by the way.
It was really cool.
Yeah,
it was
we got to do a lot of exploring of Iceland, which was unexpected. Hmm. So it was kind of cool to get a third country out of our, you know, little trip to Europe already. But with our break in Iceland, we actually got the chance to use our time wisely and get some practice in before the competition. So we saw this beautiful glass building that was right on the water in the downtown area of Reykjavik, and I just walked inside and asked the front desk if it was okay if this college choir from America, who's almost ready to compete at this choir competition, could just, you know, do an impromptu concert. And sure enough, someone was there to talk to us, and they got a hold with Dr. Garcia Novelli, and we ended up putting on a concert in Iceland that was really amazing. Yeah, we had a nice audience as well, because there was a show after us, so we were kind of like a pre-show performance for the people that were already there, so that was really cool.
Okay, wow. Well, very good.
It was great, and the acoustics were great, because it was a tall building, a lot of space, a lot of resonant space, so it was a great place to sing.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this logistically a problem to be delayed in Iceland in terms of when you were supposed to arrive in Munich?
One of the reasons why I planned it in a way that we had a two-day buffer was because I know of jet lag and how much it takes for a person to get used to the new time in Europe. It's 7 hours ahead of us. So that takes a little time. So that was the only thing that I was questioning. Oh, this is not going to be good, because Iceland is not really European time. So there was going to be a little more time difference between Reykjavik and Munich or Spital. It worked well anyway. So we arrived in Munich. We spent only one night there, as opposed to the two that was planned, and then we went to Spital. So
Spital is in Austria. How far from Munich?
It's only 3 hours away. Oh, it's actually closer to fly to Munich than to Vienna. Spital from Vienna is 3 hours and 45 minutes, or something like that.
And so you went by bus, I assume, from Munich.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So let's hear from the students about, once you arrive in Spital, Austria, what were the first things that you experienced there?
Well, firstly, I was tired from the bus ride. I wanted to take a nap, but nobody would let me. We wanted to go out and explore the town. So we went out. We had a day, that first day, Thursday. We had pretty much all day to explore Spital. It's a beautiful little city, the mountains in the background, and the little downtown area with the square in the middle. And so after our day, we had our first event for the competition that night that we had to plan for. It was the opening ceremony. I think probably my favorite part, besides I'll have to say, besides winning, was that opening ceremony. It was very touching. There was a local choir who performed folk pieces from each of the 10 countries that were there. And,
oh, neat.
It was amazing. The piece that they did for the South African choir was a piece that the South African choir was performing. So they all sang along, and it was moving, and there was flags for every country, and we all got to really feel like a community for the first time. So that was my favorite part of just the arrival in Spital, probably.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts from getting to Spital before the competition actually began?
No, I mean, I think it was just very cool to get a chance to see the area that you're, you know, going to be competing in. And we had the opportunity to see some of the other choirs, actually, because we were in the same hotel as the South African choir. So that was kind of cool just to, you know, say hi to them in the halls and, you know, eating meals, you know, in the same room was kind of interesting. But I think having that time to relax was great to kind of calm our nerves a little bit before the big day of competing.
Which was Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was the folk division, and it sounds like they're fairly lenient in terms of what that means, in terms of what kind of repertoire aligns with that.
And you're right thinking that way, because I think they give a lot of freedom to conductors about what that means. To tell you something, one of the choir from Germany brought there an arrangement made by Brahms.
Oh,
so Brahms arranged a folk song, and that is, you know,
yeah.
So that's why they say from the folk traditions. So they're pretty open about, because if you only refer to it can be a folk song, so then you're talking about just the bare structure of the song and not any arrangement or anything like that. No, they're open to arrangements and things like that. So
and what did the Carthage Choir? What did you sing in the folk division?
They can answer the question, but before that, I would like to say how I structured that.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to have, and they can give the details, a folk song or a song that is based on folk traditions. And we all know Stephen Foster. We all know Oh Susanna, for instance, or songs like that. And so I wanted a song of that type. Then I wanted something from the gospel tradition, and then I wanted something from the spiritual tradition. And I just covering different aspects of what American folk idioms include. Hmm. So now they can talk about each one of them.
So what were it was three pieces for that division?
Yeah, so our opening piece that we started that set with was an arrangement of the folk song Nelly Bly. Do you know the arranger?
Oh, Jack Halloran, yeah.
I'd like to give credit. Okay. And then we went in from that into an arrangement of the song Precious Lord, arranged by Thomas
Arnold Sevier. And since you actually, I mean, it's important because, I mean, I was telling them all the time, we have, of course, in our profession, an utmost respect of who publishes the piece, who owns the copyrights, and we want to pay to not only to be legal, but to respect the work of composers, arrangers, editors, publishers, etc. It took me months. I mean, I got a copy, right? But it's out of print. So it took me months and months and months to find what was the company that owns the rights. And eventually I found it and we paid the rights, so we're totally legal, but it was just a little thing on the side.
You know. And then our final piece of that set was Get Away Jordan, our spiritual piece, and that was arranged by Stacey Gibbs, and something really cool and unique that we got to do. Where were you, Dr. Gian, when you ran into Stacey Gibbs?
Oh, yes. That was at the National Conference of ACDA back in March. And I said to him, I'm doing one of your pieces, and I have some questions for you. And he was very nice and kind, and he answered the questions right away. But then I said, look, I'm going to meet with the choir at the end of June. And is there any way that I could hire you and we could do a clinic online? So, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Let's do it. And then?
We all loved it. It was great. It was an hour long, and he gave us great feedback, and we changed some stuff, made a couple different artistic choices, and he kind of empowered us to do some things differently, and he told us that, you know, he liked the movement we were doing with it, and it was pretty affirming to work with him and have him work with us. And, I mean, it's so special to be able to be face-to-face, I mean, through technology, with someone who, you know, wrote the piece for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So for that competition, did you get to hear the other nine choirs, or at least some of them?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of dependent on where you were placed because it was random. We actually were kind of lucky, some would say, to actually start off the competition. So on the very first night of the competition that Friday night, Carthage Choir was the first choir to perform.
And you liked that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of cool to get out there, get it done first. We were all super excited, high adrenaline, so it was good to, you know, not just sit there and twiddle your thumbs and wait to have to do it. But it also gave us the opportunity then to be done with our performance so we could see all nine other choirs. So we got really lucky that it was on the folk night, so we got to see all those different cultures and how they were portrayed through those specific choirs. But like for the other two, for the compulsory, no, we did not sit there and listen to nine other choirs sing the same songs we already know.
Oh, right, so. Right. That's a whole different thing.
And for the classical round, we were placed, I think, sixth or seventh or whatever.
Like,
so I decided that I didn't want the choir to be there before. And they said, oh, let's stay in the hotel. Let's go only 15 minutes or 20 minutes before, whatever it was, that we were called to be there.
Right.
And then after that, if people wanted to stay and hear the last three choirs or so, they could do so. I think most of us decided to go back to the hotel and get changed. It was so warm. Well, let's say hot. No more than warm.
Yeah.
It was really hot. And you know that air conditioning in Europe is not as common as it is here. So it was a little bit uncomfortable being with the performance attire and so on, waiting for the results.
So
The place where we were performing, the castle that we performed in, didn't even have a roof most of the time. So they had a tarp over the top of it while everybody was performing, and that's probably part of the reason it was so hot. But actually the last night on Saturday night that we performed the classical repertoire, it started storming and thundering and it was windy.
Ooh.
So we were okay, but for the last maybe one or two choirs,
the poor Spanish choir.
I know, the poor Spanish choir. The tarp that they had over was just flying up and down, and you could hear everything.
They didn't miss a beat though.
They did not. They were amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So you got to hear your nine competitors in the folk division. What was your sense of that as you, I mean, first of all, did you feel good about how you sang, that is the Carthage Choir? And then did you have a rough sense of what are we doing here? Or we're by far the best, or somewhere in the middle?
Was it a tough
not at all.
Yeah, no.
I think we felt really good about our performance. And then we went and we sat, and I was actually sitting next to Dr. DeGarcia Novelli during the watching them. And there were a few choirs where he'd lean over and he went, we are in trouble. And I go, I know we are, because, but that makes you feel good because that means you're competing with other groups who are at the same level as you and at the same caliber. So you don't feel like you went and competed against choirs who just aren't at the level you are, because that win is no fun. It's much more fun to get the win when you thought, oh, maybe there are four other choirs you could have taken first in my eyes, my humble, you know.
And I must say that, yes, at least I would say that I was thinking, oh my, this is tough. With at least three or four of the groups, there were others that said, like, well, they're doing a great job, but I think we're competitive, or we are doing our thing is good too. But three or four is like, oh my, this is gonna be tough. But particularly one that I remember looking at Elena and also Anna Schmidt that was next to you, as like, no, we're dead now. This is we're not gonna win, because they were exquisite.
Oh,
they were
impeccable.
Really, really good.
Where were they from?
They were from
the Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. And they were really, really a beautiful sound.
Huh.
Extremely musical, very artistic, very artistic. And so I was afraid of that.
So when was the placement announced? Was it right after the 10 choirs sang?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of the hard, but one of the more cooler parts about the competition, too, is after everyone's done singing, the judges just go off into a little room on the side of the castle and they deliberate with one another.
And take their time.
And take their time deliberating and speaking about everything they saw and their notes they took and all that jazz. And now while the critiques are going on, all of the other choirs and the audience members are still just sitting in the middle of this castle. So I guess Dr. Jian said that he kind of came this tradition to sing songs even more while the judges are deliberating. So a choir will just, you know, give a pitch and just start singing wherever they're kind of congregated as a group. And
something else, so other pieces.
Yeah, any piece you want, just anything, you know, make the time go by. And some very cool experiences within that that I'll let the other girls here talk about.
Well, the second day on Saturday night after they were during the deliberation, we all together, all the choirs sang one of the compulsory pieces called Dominus Pascit Mei. And
so that all of you knew.
So literally
so
all time countries.
Everybody knew it. Yeah, it was.
So it was a huge mass choir then.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes, it gave us a new appreciation for the piece.
It really did. It really did. I'll be the first to say it. It was not our choir's favorite piece to sing. And after that moment, I think we all developed a little bit of a love for it.
It served a purpose.
It did.
And on Friday night, we had another cool experience when we decided to sing our famous Blessing of Aaron that the Carthage Choir, means a lot. But, to the group.
But that was, we sang it in the Battle of the, but also we sang it after.
Right. I'm before that. But we started singing it, and then the German choir started singing along with us.
Oh.
And they just happened to know this piece, and it was people were crying. It was just such a beautiful moment to share this piece. Music, it bridges across countries and oceans, and it was really cool.
Wow. So you have to wait, and you're singing for each other, and then eventually these judges return, and it's time to make the announcement?
Yeah, everyone's just kind of doing a free-for-all. There's food, there's beverages, it's this big gathering reception after the concert. Everyone's kind of celebrating how well they did and just getting to know one another. And then the judges just kind of walk out on stage, and everyone, takes a gasp, and here we go, and they project on the screen all 10 choirs. And
which I will say that when we saw the screen, they project all the choirs in alphabetical order.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to be that USA was at the bottom because just because of the letter U, right?
Yeah.
The other countries were other letters of the... so it was psychologically something like shocked me.
Albania took it all.
Yeah, it was also really nerve-wracking because they start with 10th. They'll go, and 10th place is this. Mm-hmm. And not only do they say 10th place, but they read some comments from the judges right then and there.
Wow.
You get a live critique in front.
In front of everybody else, and you take it all in. And so that was really nerve-wracking too, to know that they're not just announcing top three, they're announcing all 10 places and what you did right and what you did wrong and what the judges liked and what they didn't like. So that was, they just had to defend their point system.
In that sense, let me say, it's very European. In the sense that they call it like it is.
No model coddling.
It was very professional language and very sweet and soft and probably tempered a little bit. But if they said, for instance, I think you need to work on an intonation, for instance, is something that they would say. Or that means there was something out of tune or something like that.
Wow. So as long as Carthage Choir's name is not announced, you're still in the running. So it's 10987654.
I like butterflies thinking about it.
And the funny thing is, as we said, so it was the 10 countries and we were at the bottom. So when they announced number 10, there was this a screen that was alive, let's say, and that somebody was putting number 10 and whatever the choir was, and that choir was traveling from wherever they were to the bottom. So you see the U.S. and everybody else bumping up. So that kept happening, right?
Wow. So the last three choirs were who? Do you recall?
Okay, yeah. So Friday night, it was really crazy. So they go, there was a second place tie. And so I go, okay, well, the chances are, the odds are that we were one of the second place ties. And they announced the second place tie is between the University Choir from Indonesia and the choir from the Czech Republic, which, okay, big surprise there. And then, of course, once they announced the second place, so that's us, and we all were like, it was just like, we did not expect it. We hoped for top three, top four, top five even, and then to just see that on, announced second place and then see that we're number one, it was crazy.
What did they have to say? Do you recall their comments and was it all positive?
It was. Let me tell you something that was specific about what they said that called my attention, because I said before that I really, really loved the work that the choir from the Czech Republic did. And in fact, after everything was said and done, and I met friends with the director, and we exchanged music and so on. Sure. It was one of the great things about the competition. But one of the things that they said in their critique is that a wonderful atmosphere was created in all pieces. Then something like great stage presence, and we're going to talk about that in a minute because we have somebody to thank for that, mm-hmm. and also great sense of rhythm and excellent pitch or something. That means that everything was in tune and something. And actually, they give you that in writing as well at the end, so I have it at home. I should have brought it here, but all those comments were... the variety of the program they praised. And I think that probably what happened with the Czech choir was that as amazing as they were, their programming was, if I may say, they said it, actually the judges said it, that was kind of the same style. So they lacked a little bit of variance.
Okay, so you showed more versatility,
correct,
which they liked. Mm-hmm. Wow. And talk about the stage presence matter.
I mean, that was something that I think... definitely was one of the main reasons why we got first place. Is we really did a lot of work with a gentleman by the name of Matt Barese of Carthage College. And
Greg knows him very well because they worked together many times.
He was the stage director for Opera Workshop for many years. So.
Right, and he came in for the days that we were back at Carthage studying again before we flew out, and he was there to help us and do some outlining on the songs that we were doing, and he really did put a lot of genius work into the pieces that we were performing that like just really enhanced the music that we were singing by putting, you know, a storyline along with it that wasn't taking away from the main reason we were there to perform the music, but just made it even that much better.
So you were moving? I mean, this is choreography?
If I must say, is that that's one of the things that I learned by going to the competition, but by seeing what other people were doing, other directors, other countries were doing before. So I knew that we had to do something, right? And at the same time, I mean, it is something that is happening, not only for Spital, but for many, even in the U.S., it's happening a lot. More and more choirs are having some sort of choreography, if that is a word, that we can make up. So it's happening, but particularly for this competition, and particularly for the folk area. So you should see the amazing costumes that they wear and all the choreography they do with a lot. So... Matt, and you know him really well, he's such a professional. He knows his craft so well.
Yeah.
That some, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before the rehearsals, we communicated, I sent the music, I said, this is what I would like, this is what I envision. And I said, Matt, you have to think about storytelling, as Chris was saying, but I said, like, there's a fine line in how much of that you do, and it becomes like, without being disrespectful or talking down, it becomes a show choir, and we don't want to be a show choir. We are not a show choir. We are a singing choir, and singing is more important than anything else. So it has to be something that people can move and act and tell the story, but they have to sing. And I must say that Matt is so amazing at that.
Wow.
So, but they can continue.
Yeah. More ideas. So. That just, it was a thrilling surprise. You did not expect to win, and I just can't imagine what that felt like for all of you in that moment. Did any of you sleep that night?
It was hard.
It was hard.
Because we didn't want to, like, come down from that, you know, that high that we had from doing so well, and, you know, there were tears, and there was so much hugging, and it was just, like, and the environment was so positive, too, that everyone was so supportive, too, and so you just felt so loved and so supported, and you also kind of felt like a celebrity. It was just, it was a great feeling.
But the tricky thing about that was because we won the first night of competition and we found out right away that exact night, but we still had a full another day of competing to do the next day.
In the morning, early,
you know,
too. So
at
we had
9 in the morning,
careful.
We had to, you know, be ready to go to sing again and do our absolute best another time to get the second category under our belt. But Dr. Jian had to work some magic to, you know, make sure that our egos were in the right place of focus and not just going in there and saying, oh, we got this, but actually going in there to put in the hard work that we have been working for.
Right.
Now, something good, you know, they give you points, right? And they give you those right away. So something that gave us confidence, and I don't mean that in any, you know, self, what is the word here? That, you know, we received 95 points. And the second place, the tying groups, received 91.5. So what I'm trying to say is that I'm happy or we feel really, really good about the fact that for the judges, we were the clear winners. And there was no discussion, I think, because if not, the distance would not have been that big.
Right. It would have been even closer. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I was personally really nervous for the second day of competing, like with what you were talking about. I was nervous about our energy going down because I know that a lot of us felt the most connection to the folk section just because it was so high energy and we had the blocking and we had the storytelling.
It was definitely a choir.
We were praised for our stage presence. So going into the second day with pieces like Liberame, which is a piece where you really need to focus and like be in that right serious mindset while still having the stage presence that they praised the day before was something that I knew was going to be tricky. And yeah, I was nervous for that. Right.
Plus you won that first division, so you have this weight of responsibility on your shoulders, which is not easy either.
Before we move on to talking about the second day of competition, about the repertoire of the first night, because I think it's important. So the first one was more of a storytelling, as we mentioned before. The second, the gospel song, is a very tragic story. So I was looking for also different moods, right? Mm. The first one was a happy sort of, you know, just regular day life in America, 19th century, whatever. And the second was something extremely deep. It was written, as you know, the melody, A Precious Lord, Take My Hand, by Thomas Dorsey. He just had lost his wife and his child when he wrote that awesome text and music. The third one was a spiritual, and I mean, can you do in an international venue something related to folk idioms of America and not include a spiritual? I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
This one was so particular that allowed for some free sections there to be improvised or something like that. I am not good at that type of thing, so I called somebody to help me. And that somebody is called Gregory Bird. The person's in front of me right now. So we owe him a lot as well, because you, Greg, wrote awesome melodies that the solos performed within that spiritual. The two sections, the one that Mireia Magueon performed first and then the duet that we created at the end. And that was so well received. So thank you, Greg.
Cool. Yeah. You're welcome. So, second day, and it obviously, I mean, we've already given away the end, but it yielded yet another first place finish. Did it feel like that was going to happen, or was that as big a shock as the first night?
No, even bigger shock, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely more of a bigger shock to get the second category as first place as well.
Even though, you know, they gave us points for the morning and for the evening, and we were placed number one in both, the morning and the evening, and then, of course, the average, right? But it was much more competitive, because the difference between our points and the second place was like a point and a half or something like that, not, you know, 3.5 points like the night before had been. So that tells you that it was much more competitive.
Yeah. Wow, tight race, but... Yeah. And the same drama on the computer
screen.
Oh,
yeah.
Same thing. Oh, yeah. I must say that I left in the morning when we did the composer repertoire. I left thinking, this is the best we have ever done those three pieces. Mm-hmm. This is the best ever. And I particularly felt really, really good about the piece by Edward Elgar, the British composer, and which, by the way, was one of the things the judges praised.
Mm. Very good. So you received this first place again, and more tears, I assume?
Yeah.
Everyone went crazy. Yeah. But then I think one of the coolest things about this competition was obviously the fact that we got to experience, you know, 9 different cultures as well. But something that was really cool is at the end, South Africa actually started chanting USA. And like supporting in support of us. So it's just really cool to see, you know, the 10 different cultures supporting one another and being there for the same reason to compete and be there to, you know, make music and make bonds with each other. And that's really what we did. And it just happened to be cool that we got first place in all of
that
it too.
That is neat. That's almost better than the actual winning. Mm-hmm. So what do you think this experience, I mean, you've each talked about kind of what it meant for each of you as individuals. What do you think this represented for the choir itself as a whole? What kind of an experience was this for the whole group?
I think it puts us on a completely different level than we were even just this last year. I mean, now that we have gone to this international competition, keyword there, and got home with first place, it really shows just, you know, praise to Dr. Garcia Novelli, how much he can do and how he can work with a choir and push them to their limits to succeed in such ways that we've proven in this past, you know, couple weeks. So I'm really excited to see where this choir goes in the future and what we can take on this year. But I just think we're going uphill from here.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Madam President?
I think a big takeaway was definitely hard work pays off. And I think that's something that will maybe will definitely change just maybe even the environment of Carthage Choir in the future, and just the way people view rehearsal and commitment to rehearsal and individual commitment. I mean, there was a certain level of responsibility about learning music going into this with such high stakes that there was a lot of individual work that had to go on outside of rehearsal, and high expectations from Dr. Garcia Novelli, and it ended really well. So it shows us, well, that's the kind of thing that you need to do. But not only that, but that, like, you can achieve so much if you do that. So what's holding you back? We already did this, so we can't go back from there. So it's really, you can only go forward.
Right. London?
I agree with everything Elena just said. She put it so well. One of my quotes that I'll take from Dr. GN, Dr. Garcia Novelli, we worked our butt offs, so hard work really does pay off. I was honestly going into those three 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. rehearsals, I was a little nervous for how that was going to turn out. Yeah, and it was so worth it, and really they were so much fun to do with all of the blocking we learned and all of the artistic choices we made, learning the pieces and reviewing them again. It was a wonderful experience, and the hard work really did pay off. So as long as our future generations continue to put in that hard work with us, then I think we've got some big things ahead.
I'm going to make sure that happens. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say that one of the things that I talked a lot with them before going is that, and I said it more than one time, the real competition is with yourself. Mm. You individually and all of us as a group, we have to strive to be better today than we were yesterday. And tomorrow, better than where we are today. And that's the real competition. And I said, and I really think that we were winners before singing the first note when we arrived there in Spital. Why? Because that was the best that we could have done. We pushed the limit of how good can we get? Well, this is, I mean, somebody else can be better. Sure,
right.
Sure.
You have no control over
somebody
that.
Somebody else can be better. But we, today, that day, whatever, this is the best we can offer. Mm. This is who we are. If you like it or not, whatever. Yeah. But this is who we are. And I think we were winners, and I'm so proud to say that we were winners before singing the first note. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's more important. And the other thing that I would like to say is that, and I'm not trying to praise me, but I think that the work that we have to do as faculty members, right? And you, Greg, shared that with me, and you know what I'm talking about. Is we see who we are, the group that we have, whatever, and you say, well, I think we can achieve from 1 to 5, whatever that 1 to 5 means. And I think that our job is to say, okay, let's bring number 6. Let's bring something that belongs to number 6 level, and let's try to do that. And I think that that is what happened this time, that we said, let's not be happy just we say in 1 to 5, levels 1 to 5. Let's try for 6. Mm. And that's the most important thing.
And you got there. And then some. So, again, we've been talking about this competition in Austria, the Spital International Choral Competition, for which the Carthage Choir secured first place finishes in both the folk category and the classical category. So a double victory that has not been achieved very often in the history of the Spital competition. So it was an amazing moment for the school and the department and for these talented young people. So, and I'm so glad that we could hear it from all of you firsthand. So Christopher Wojciechowicz and Elena Cressy and London Royston, three of the singers in the Carthage Choir currently, and of course their illustrious leader, Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli. Thanks to all of you for being part of the morning show today, and congratulations again on this marvelous achievement.
Thanks
so
much for having us.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the morning show, we will preview the Pike River Rendezvous, which is coming up the first week in August. It's a wonderful way to step back in time into the days of the fur trade here in Wisconsin. By the way, the interview that you just heard with these three singers plus Dr. Garcia Novelli had to be slightly edited because of time. You can hear the entire interview by listening to it on our podcast. The podcast is The Morning Show with Greg Berg. You can subscribe to it via Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Google Podcast, and hear that interview in its entirety. And of course, morning shows are offered up on the podcast 7 days a week.